بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والوزن يومئذ الحق. The weighing of the deeds is a reality. It's a fact. It's a reality. And then nobody can escape this. What happens to man is 99% of man becomes a victim of circumstance. His behavior, his thinking, his mannerisms, his values, circumstance and the surrounding shape him to think in a certain way, behave in a certain way, see things in a certain way. Most of us are schooled in a Western system, secular system. So after a period of time we begin to think in that way. So the greatest concern becomes financial security. That becomes the major concern. Greater than everything else, are my finances secure? And the second great concern is, am I fit and strong? So finances are secure, I'm fit and strong, and is there security around me? So this is what man thinks about. Financially secure, he's fit and strong, and the surrounding is also secure. So the whole Western thinking goes around these three points. So then when it goes around these three points, his material security, his health security, and surrounding security, then I ask you, if that's the essence of life, then is there any difference between a man and an animal? Animal also wants to be secure. You see the hen and how it takes care of its young. And you see the cow and how it takes care of its calf. And the lion, how it takes care of its cub. You also look for that. And animals are also looking for better pastures, material, right? And you're also careful about the health. So then man has been reduced to an animal. So if man reduces himself to an animal, then really he's lost the plot totally. He's got a far greater goal, and he's failed to understand the goal. And if he's thought of the goal, then it's just an idea, it's just an imagination, a thought, will cross it when it comes, so he's too casual about it. So that's how he's taken the real goal. When it's a goal, then you make any sacrifice to get up to the goal. Go through this test, leave the house, go elsewhere, get it, make it happen. So he'll make any sacrifice to get to the goal, provided he's identified the goal and he understands it to be the real goal. Otherwise, no, but I want to do it, but nobody's cooperating with me. So that is an indication that you haven't understood the goal or you haven't made it your goal. Otherwise, if you made your goal, you'll make it happen. Somehow or the other, you'll make it happen. I know there was one, when I just come from India, 1980, so we just come, so you want to do something in Arabic as well. Don't lose touch. And the only way you can do it is if you've got someone who wants to learn Arabic. Because if he needs to be taught in Arabic, then you have to prepare yourself to deliver to him. And if there's nobody there, then you look at Kitab for a few days, and then your knowledge will be just reduced to the pre-Jumma talk. what can I do for this Jummah, what can I do for the next Jummah. So that will be the summary of the summary total of 8 years of learning. Just a pre-Jummah talk when it's your turn. And your turn perhaps will come after every second week. So you just have to grab one bayaniya, and that's the end of your ilm. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. So then, if your parents got to know if they're alive or they're dead, that this is what we're getting after from this person here. Say they're dead and they're gone, and they get to know, so they put him into such a study, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years of the year of their life, and this is what we're getting, how will they feel? So I used to think at that time, that if someone, so Allah's blessing and grace, so one person from the Zanzibari section, Sayyid, you call him Sheikh Sayyid afterwards. So he used to be working in the SAPREF. Now he had such a job that it's a shift job, sometime in the morning, sometime in the afternoon, sometime in the night. Now I had to make myself available at any time for his convenience so that I can teach him. And I want an exposure so that I can keep alive. There's no exposure, then that ilm that I've acquired, my parents have sent me for, then they will feel, well, we sent the boy out for 8 years, 7 years of education, and this is what we are getting at the end. So Allah Ta'ala took mercy, and he created an opportunity. So now, that man came, just whatever, before Fajr, sometime after Fajr, sometime after Isha, sometime after Maghrib. Now it depends on his work and his shift. But he came and I had to make myself available. So Allah allowed him, alhamdulillah, quite a bit of good work is done after that. Wherever he was, here, there, wherever. But Allah enabled him to do a lot of good work. But this is what ilm requires. That ilm is not going to be following you. You have to be on its case all the time. At any given time, I have to be with it. The peak December season, or the peak January season, or the peak Easter, then you can't say we relaxed. No, can't say that. Every moment, every second of an alim is different. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Can they both be identical? You are looking at it, alright. What can I do here? What can I do here? Even in the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam found an opportunity. He found a niche market, and he did it, even in that situation. Hazrat Mu'adh bin Ghuwais sahab rahmatullah alayhi, after the war, 1857, so he was imprisoned for some time, for approximately 6 months, and in that duration, he was teaching someone Quran Sharif in the jail. And then when he heard the announcement that Mawlana is going to be released, he began to cry. Well, you're going to be going out, and I need to complete my Quran Sharif. Was reassured him. Be reassured. As long as you need to complete your Quran Sharif, I'll remain with you. Take me another 6 months to ensure that your Quran Sharif is complete, but I'll remain here and see to that your Quran Sharif is complete. So you see their mind. That's why we say, Akabir ka tariqa, their ways. So their ways, in my understanding, is closest to the Sunnah. But provided you listening to them, looking at them with a clear, unbiased, unprejudiced mind. Languishing in prison for no reason, just for teaching this person Quran Sharif, there's more sacrifice. Major thing, major, major thing. You won't want to stay in prison one day or so. Now, you see these people, their hearts. Then when Allah Pak accepts them, then these are the pointers where he looks at. This man is faithful for with me, how much? And then, the dream of every Muslim is that he must have recurring sawab, the reward is recurring. So if you are honest and you are committed to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Pak gives you that opportunity that your rewards go recurring. How they go recurring? So he'll allow you to invest in an area, in a student, in a madrasa somewhere, right? And that student will reproduce and so forth and so on and continue for hundreds of years, and I think he's just running. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi is writing with Fazail al-Tijarat at a time he had prepared the whole kitab, Fazail al-Tijarat, business, and he had given it to his uncle, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, to proofread it. Right? And it coincided with the last and final illness of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Mawlana had given it to some ulama to proofread it because he was in that state. And then Mawlana passed on to the ulama that he had passed it on, they passed on, and then the kitab also passed on. Now, suddenly it occurred to him, my uncle insisted that this kitab must be prepared. And it occurred to him when he was about to pass on. Now while he's going on that, and then he's writing the kitab, he's dictating it from his memory now, what I remember, what I had, in which sequence, etc. And that's about the last kitab, see. See how their minds work. So anywhere, any opportunity, what can I do for deen? For my own preservation, for my own betterment. Because everything else is just an illusion and imagination, material, and material must come to an end. Ending up, so what's the big deal if you knew there were 5 strands in a mosquito's net? Is it anything to boast about? There's 5 strands here, you know, the strands run like this, they cross like that, like this, whatever. Is it a big deal? So, this is the end of science and technology. If you knew something more about it, so you knew about more about those strands. Now this is talking about it as a mosquito's wing, right? So if you knew a little bit more about a mosquito's wing, so what's the big deal? Yes, if you knew about the real life, eternal life, know about it, and you're working towards it, that's something. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That is better and enduring, lasting. So you invested in something that was lasting. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ. That scale of the deeds is a fact, it's a reality, nobody can escape, nobody can bypass. So we become a victim of circumstance, surrounding people, media, news, school, education. We don't realize it, but we become a victim to it. So if the media, the education, the school, the surrounding, the people, the family is talking about a certain thing, then eventually it gets to you, no, I must have some material security. Must have it. Don't have it. What's going to happen? For the rainy day. So everybody is worried about the rainy day. Very few are worried about, and you get more sunny days, less rainy days. More sunny days you get, a few rainy days you get. Count it and see the year. So Allah has given you so much, and still you think about the rainy day only. Why? Khuda ko bhool karke kuch kaam nahi karna chahe. Think of Allah Ta'ala, He is the doer, He'll make it happen. How He'll make it happen, it's not your business. He'll make it happen. He'll feed you, He'll look after you, He'll take care of you. We talk so highly about Brother Shah Waliullah Sahib and his family, right? There must be a reason that we talk so highly about them, right? So two brothers, Shah Ishaq Sahib, and if I remember, Shah Yaqub Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, one of them has seen a dream. And Nabi Sallallahu's Mubarak body is somewhere in the middle of Delhi, Chandi Chowk or somewhere, and people are trampling over it and moving on. So they realize now that now Islam is not going to be like what it was in India. People will not have that reverence, that respect, that commitment. They're not going to have it now. See, like how it's happened now internationally, globally. You don't have the reverence, you don't have the respect, you don't have that commitment to deen. It's a few acts that we are doing, and each one, kullu hizbim bima ladayhim farihun. What I'm doing, I feel I'm doing enough. So every person feels the same. So they realize now, you're not going to win here. So we rather look for a sanctuary. See, where's their minds going? What's the sanctuary? What's the safe haven? Right? Our understanding of safe haven with this money, with clean air, right? And there is some environment for safety. So that's our understanding. And what's the understanding? So when you say Akabir ka tariqa, the way of the elders, they understood that no matter how good the place may be, safe or, but you have to die. And you can't say when you're going to die. You can't say today, tomorrow. It's about the most uncertain thing. Most uncertain thing. You don't know. Nobody knows. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. You expect, you hope, right? But it's going to happen. When it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, nobody knows. So the most wise thing is to secure that thing, that leg of the journey, to secure that. So what we are made to think is the life must be pleasant, right, and secure. What happens in the next leg of the journey from death onwards, let it happen, don't worry about it. That's how we are made to think, because of this education, because of the surrounding, because of friend and association, interaction, this is how we're thinking. We don't realize we became a victim, a slave to this thing. We don't accept it. No, I got so much security. But do we realize that we are enslaved? Do we realize? Probably we'll have an explanation. I must have some money and all that. But then I ask you, you don't need to have akhirat. You don't need to have jannat. We talk so much about this. So the wise thing is not to know how secure you are here and how well you are making it. It's how well you make it into the next life. Person is in the examination room. It's not about how good desk he's got, and what a fine pen he's got, and what good papers he's got, and what type of silk he's wearing and sitting on. That's not the criteria. The criteria is how well he does in the examination. So now we put our mind in the car that we came, in the Ferrari we came, in the aircon that we've got in the examination room, the certain carpet that we're sitting on, and the fineness of the pen that we're writing with. This is where our mind is. So that's not the criteria. The examiner says, well, I got nothing to do with this. I want to know how good you do in this paper here. So the criterion is that how well you do. As you're moving on, how well you did. Did you do it well? Were you a failure? Or you didn't get the maximum? Yeah, you want to get the maximum. 50 investments I got. Hey, it's too less, man. You know, children, grandchildren coming up. You know, everything doesn't grow in the trees here. Huh? So you need something for them as well. Others will say, hey, father, dada didn't do anything for us. So everybody will cry now. But what you did for yourself, your own security, what did you do? See how shaitan and how the world overwhelms you. That's why Quran Sharif repeatedly reminds you, مَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ مُقَيِّدْ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. You blind yourself from Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala assigns a shaitan to you. You can't see it. فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينَ. That thing is with you all the time. That thing is guiding you. It's navigating you. So you can see who's navigating. So those thoughts he's injecting, you can't see him. And you think, what a wonderful idea. But you don't realize that your pilot is shaitan. Shaitan is piloting you. Muqayyid lahu shaitan. Fahuwa lahu qareen. His whole idea is to move you away from Allah Ta'ala. Yasudduna mani sabeel. To move you away from Allah Ta'ala. From your real goals, he's moving you away. See, the people in Medina say it repeatedly. Once they reach the age of 40, then they were full of their beddings. Now, business now, just from what we are doing, 1/10 of what we are doing is enough now. Now we need to look at the onward journey. We did so much for 40 years. What arrangement we have done for the permanent life? What have we made? So they fold the beddings, fold the businesses, 1/5 of what, or say 1/20 of what they were doing, enough. Let me look for the onward journey. What can I do for that leg of the journey? See. So that was their life. That was understanding. That was wisdom. What's the definition of wisdom? Isabatul Rai. You are thinking correctly, understanding, reasoning correctly. That's called wisdom. Not how much you can talk and how much you can write, all that. No. You are talking and you're talking wisdom, it's precise. You're talking reality. So therefore Allah talks about the scales of the day of Qiyamah, that's a reality. Unescapable reality. Now, when you hear all these type of things, then you get mixed responses. One response is, but how will this happen, you know, because deeds, namaz, recitation are all not tangible things, abstract things. So when it's abstract, then it disappears into thin air. Namaz, you can't preserve the namaz, you can't capture the namaz and preserve it. Can you do it? Can't. Can you capture the recitation and preserve it? Can't. So every act of ibadat can't be preserved, can't be captured, because it's abstract. Now, then how is the weighing going to take place? So that's the question that is normally asked, right? But I ask you, in all fairness, there's a lot of things in life that you can't understand, but you believe. You can't understand, but you believe that there is some reality. Like life, I say life, can you explain what life is? You can see the symptoms of life, but life itself, can you explain? Can you give me a logical explanation of what life is? But you believe in life, there is a thing life, like life. You believe in death, but can you give me a logical explanation of what is death? Yes, you can show the symptoms of death, but death itself, for that matter, all your organs, right, they become alive with the instilling of the ruh, the soul, right? Then everything functions, right? So, now that thing departs and everything is shut down. The eyes shut down, everything is shut down. Right? Can you explain life? So there's so many things that you believe in, you come across, you talk about it, but you don't ask for a logical explanation. So same, exactly the same. This is also put into that account. Where you would say that it's beyond my comprehension. But it's a fact, because the most truthful has spoken about it, so it's a fact, it's going to happen. Like some things are beyond my comprehension here, then some things are beyond my comprehension, I believe in it, I understand it. So can't we just add it to that account, to the things that we don't understand? That's why I say, the greatest disservice was by the science. Because they'll bring it to a certain point, they'll say, alright, the sun now, some gases merged, and there was a combustion, and then there was a ball of fire, and now that's called the sun. Alright. So now there will be some questions that will fire up from this point. But what were those gases? And how did they merge so accurately, so precisely, to create such a ball of fire, to go with such precision around the earth, right? What made it happen? Now that was the most important thing, but conveniently, they deleted Allah Ta'ala. So they talk about themselves, but the actual creator, they have deleted of the picture. They may say, oh, there will be a lot of controversy about the creator. There can be a controversy about you as well. But everybody understands there was someone that did this. Can't you just say there was a creator that did this, that was perfect, immaculate, precise, Can't you say that much? No, they won't say that. Yes, those that went into science, then many of them forgot and deleted the creator completely. Is it a fact or not? They became atheists. Right? If they say that there was someone, then who was it? Then why did you become an atheist? Why did you disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala altogether? So those that went up that ladder, then that was the end. They forgot that creator complete. That was the end. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ But the Quran Sharif says, yet they're still proud about themselves. They forgot the actual purpose of life, yet they're proud about themselves. So, this weighing of the deeds is a fact. No two ways about it, everybody is subject to the scales. Big or small, pious or impious, man or woman, everybody is subject to the scales. Yes, what you're supposed to be asking is, what will bring about the weight on the scales?
Not how it looks and how it's going to happen. No. Don't ask about that. It's what brings about the weight on the scale, that is what is supposed to be asked. Right? Like someone is going to be hanged to death, right, before, till the 60s or beginning 70s, they had that. After that, they discontinued it. Because man felt he was very advanced. In fact, he was very advanced. His mind is reached a different level, so he must cut it off. So he cut it off. When he cut it off, murder, crime was at about 1% in the world. And that thing escalated to 70%. So when he deleted the law of Allah Ta'ala, he got deleted. He deleted the law of Allah Ta'ala, he got deleted. He said, no, it's barbaric and all that. Some scientific words and all that he used. So no, they must go for counseling, rehabilitating, etc. So who's going to pay for the rehabilitating? You're going to pay. The innocent is going to pay for all these chores, thugs, thieves. The innocent, they're going to be paying for them. And the master, the thuggery. Alright, last time, this one year, they went off like that. So let's master it. He's looking into a video, into a movie, alright. He went off like that. So let's study the whole thing, and you can bypass the whole system. See. So when you did away with the law of Allah Ta'ala, you went away, you gone. So the right thing is, right, leave your pride, leave your arrogance, come back to the law of Allah Ta'ala. I remember in the 60s, very, very comfortable, we were living in Reunion at that time. Right. So come weekend, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to our Nana's place, Randall's Road, the Masjid Nabawi. But the home in Reunion is left totally open. And now we're living right at the border of Amlazi. Right at the border of Amlazi. No fear whatsoever. Absolutely no fear. We got a shop in Reunion, opposite the taxi rank, right? Coming through for the takings of the day in our pockets. Cutting through the taxi rank, nothing to fear about. That was the aftermath of the Islamic law. Until about the 1700s or beginning of 1800s, it was the Islamic influence that ran through the world. Then it was the Turkish thing, you know, the Turkish Khilafat all ended. So the influence still lasted. And then the Western secular thing began to run. And if that thing ran, then the whole mindset was changed. I remember in the 60s, the school teacher, right, Muslim by name, Allah forgive him, forgive us. But incredible, really, how they poison the mind. The teacher is saying, what he's telling us, everyone for himself and God for all. Everyone for himself and God for all. It's a poisonous arrow that he's injecting into us. It took me time. What is this man saying? But then I realized that is pure Western orientation. And everybody must think for himself. You don't worry about the next person. Yesterday, it was Friday or Thursday, there was an old student that came here, Riyaz Naqsuda. Right? So now he's the owner of this Mama's Chicken. So he's telling all his business, thrill and all that. How the business is doing. So I couldn't understand now what he was and how Allah Pak took him. Went to about 75, grade 7, and now he is so wealthy, he doesn't know what to do with money. So I asked him, how's your father, all that? Father, very well. So then he's telling me that the father went, he had a major heart attack, and then how the ambulance team and all that, the difficulty they had. And they took me to some hospital, private hospital in Marisburg, because they are stationed there. But he said, no, the difficulty that we have with the ambulance, the paramedics and all that, he said, hey, you know, man, this thing can't carry on. So just then he says, he's living in Lidgerton for this chicken business and all that. So just then, one white chap phoned up and he says that I got an ambulance and I want to sell it out to you. So I consulted all my Boer farmers, my all that. All are saying that you are the right person. So he says, how much this thing costs? Because it's a big company, whole operation, ambulance and all that services, with all the people that go with it, you know. So he said, that thing is about 10 million. So I don't have the money. So that time he said, well, just buy for 100 rand. And just see the death. My son, I can't see him being competent. So after that, no strings attached, right? So what's your achievement now? I've just asked that. He asked, what's your achievement? So no, there was an accident from, I think, about 3-4 weeks ago. A man and two or three children passed away, right? So one child had to be airlifted to the hospital. So we had because we had the ambulance, we had the contact with Medcare, and we got a free airlift from that spot right to the Umshlang hospital. But now from where, Allah Ta'ala escalated him. And now he says, my dream is I want to do something for Islam. For all the masjids in South Africa, I want to provide free water service. See, his whole picture is, he's got his son here, going for Umrah now. When he comes back, and this, the Bayan truck, and every masjid in South Africa, because the water is too sweet, and it's giving off 90,000 liters every hour. So all the masjids I'm going to give. But where he was, great servant, and how Allah took him. Anyway, that's just one story by the side. Why I'm getting at, but I don't get too consumed with all these things here. It's a Western training and education we went through, and we don't realize that we are consumed by that. We became slaves to that. We're thinking like that, we're behaving like that, right? Trust in Allah Ta'ala. He wants, he'll make it happen. Nothing in Allah can make it happen. See where he was, this man was, his brothers. I know when he was the madrasa, the Catholic building, what he was. Now through Allah, how Allah took him. Right. So, that's not the more important thing than how you live here. Yes, what's the transition like? You have to move into the next realm, right? And how beautiful was that transition? That's the thing to worry about. Right. And don't be concerned about how the deeds are going to be scaled. Be concerned is what brings about the weight on the scale. So see how your mind, when you're going to Westernism, etc., you're asking all these unnecessary questions. So the man is going to be hanged, right? So you're asking now, what is going to be the color of the robe that's going to be throttling him, right? And how far will it be from the ceiling? And how thick will that robe be? Will it be made of plastic or fiber? And what will cause the thing to choke me, right? Is that the thing to ask about? The right thing was to ask, can I appeal for some leniency, reappeal for a bail? That was the right thing to ask. Now, he left all that and he's asking all these stupid things. So that's where man is today. He left his original journey and goal and he's asking things that are all not related. So the more he's doing that, getting into science, the more he's getting himself drowned and drowned and drowned. And then when death just takes him by surprise, saying, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَصَدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. It just catches him by surprise. And then he says, if you just spared me for a few moments, I put my things right, get everything right, and then board the plane to death. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ. But when that plane comes for you to board, then Allah is not giving any further respite. Then you board. Whoever it may be, big, small, pious, impious, woman, man, anybody, you board in, you're coming with me now. So that was the moment to work for. That was the goal. That was the time to prepare for. You prepared for that. You didn't have much, but you prepared for that. That you are a wonderful person. Nice, precise, good journey you got. Some last year somewhere, so there was a doctor, pediatrician, he passed, I'm not taking his name, right? But he defied all the laws, said, well, I'm going to go by foot to the masjid in reservoirs, all the laws. Somebody shouting, you know, old age man, over 90, breaking all the laws, no, I must be faithful to Allah Ta'ala. Others, well, we'll have to just maneuver them, but Allah Pak, I have to be right with him, I have to be faithful with him, I can't break the allegiance with him for what he's done for me, the favors, the beauty, the bounties, what he's done for me, you know, for all my life, for my children, he's done so much he's done. I can't manage making sugar. But now I must leave his house. How can I do that? He's thinking himself. Petition, quite prosperous. But he was faithful to Allah, honest to Allah. I must do this for you. And his habit was come early to the masjid and continuously reciting the Quran Sharif. Continuously. That was his habit. Not getting into fights and arguments. I must be faithful to my Allah Ta'ala. I must do my thing. And Allah must be happy with me. I can't disregard the favors that he's done to me. Then, just his approaching death on the Tuesday, he's asking, when is Tuesday? Eventually told the twin, this today is Tuesday. Hey, today is the best day of my life. I can't see a better day. There are people coming here, just give them seats. Seat them down, malaika coming, right? To receive me. It's the best day, the sweetest, the best day of my life. So, you've been faithful to Allah Ta'ala, you think Allah Ta'ala will forget you. Shakiran Alima, if you are grateful, you think Allah Ta'ala is not grateful. If you recognize, you think Allah Ta'ala forgets. Ma kana rabbuka nasiya, Allah Ta'ala never forgets. You've done, you've been faithful, you've been loyal to Him, you held on, irrespective of all what the world was saying. Everything what was saying, everything what was going around, but you held on to Allah Ta'ala, then you had the hope in Him that He is appreciative, He is thankful, He is merciful, right? You have that yaqeen, you have that conviction, He'll make it happen. Because you have that conviction, you have that certainty in Him. Right? And when death is decreed, it will happen. Nobody can force it to come, and nobody can cause its delay. So it comes, let it come. Aani hai to aane do. Maut aani hai to aane do. Or jaan jaani hai to jaane do. As to come now, let it come now. And now he's looking forward to the journey. He's looking forward to the journey. That means he's prepared himself to board that plane to the akhirah. He's prepared himself. When he's prepared himself, so he wants to be there. As though it's like a boom gate, you know. The boom gate has come up, and now you can't cross. But on that side, you can see that's your abode. You can see your woman there, your folks there, your jannat, everything you can see there. Everybody's coming, come, come. Or Umadi Sahib, they should say, that one old man, every year is having a new wedding and anniversary. You know? Same wife, wedding anniversary every year. You have the whole thing staged. So they asked that old man, Chacha, but what is his business? He said, well, I don't need to get married. But you know, when, after the nikah, when the bride's party, when they're receiving me, you know, how do you say? Dulabai, aya, dulabai, aya. I just enjoy that. But imagine now, the folks in Jannah, they're calling, hey, come, come now, come, you're delaying now, what's wrong with you? They're happy, they're jumping, they're joyous, the women are there, the Jannah is there, everything is there. And it's just inviting you. Now you can't resist the thing. As though you are now, like that bird trapped in the cage, and you can see your folks outside. And you're going, help this girl, hey, you go out now. Just open the door, I need to escape from this. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ إِذْنِ الْحَقِّ. Think about Jannah, think about the Akhirat. In my understanding, in this day and time, the best of deeds is to talk about the Akhirat, to make muzakara, to think about it. And why I say this? Because all the talk is about investment, money, plan. This thing, I'm incurring a loss here. This thing is coming right. So the main figure is about business. That's the main concern. This business here, I just came up now. Just came up, settled everything down. So if there's anything that you are concerned about is business. But what about the akhirat? What about Jannah? What about the qabr? What about the day of Qiyamah? Do we think about it? Do we talk about it as a reality? If we're talking about deen, then our deen will be around, yeah, this alim here, he shot down that one, and this one here shot down that one. There's so much of ishtilaf. But how many people you shot down? We're talking about him shooting him, and him shooting this one, How many people you shot? You're talking about these things here, but how many people you shot? You think about yourself. See, that is why the hadith that speaks about covering yourself. See, you need a cover, right? This world, medical cover, motor car cover, everything you need cover, right? So you need some cover for the akhirah as well. If you need a medical cover, you need a motor car cover, then what cover have you got? What plan have you got for the akhirah, for the cover? What plan have you got? Well, that's a casual thing. Oh, it happened in its time. Then the motor car can also happen in its time. Medical also can happen in its time. You don't have that attitude there. So what cover have you got for the akhirah? That's a great concern. So when that's the great concern, I need to understand, alright, what will make my akhirat work? So this type of things become the discussion in our walima, our talks, our discussion. This person, some fight, some controversy, someone is smashing down someone, that becomes the discussion. But what is Nabi Sam's teaching at that time? At that time, one of the ways Nabi Sam is proposing, advising us that you have to hold on to it. What one of those ways? Ibuki ala khatiyati, cry about yourself. What? When someone is shooting this one, that one is happening. So what is his advice? Allah has showed him the dunya and the akhirat, right? Utitu mafatiha khazain ilah. So Allah gave him the keys, he saw. He went into the akhirat, he went through the dunya, and he saw what was the disaster that side, what is the disaster here. And he saw now what's going to happen in the future. The troubles, the future, the trials are going to come around. So when he's been blessed with so much of knowledge by Allah Ta'ala, then after all that knowledge, he's saying, you know, when you come here across this time here, then you cry over yourself. You cry about yourself. Because when you see into yourself, you'll find enough skeletons in your own cupboard. You find enough. From the time you mature till now, your speech, your sight, your ears, your heart, do you go and check your, do you put a monitor on yourself? Well, your whole concern is about food. He is this and he did that, and this money is going like that. Where is your finger? See what Rasulullah is teaching and how our minds work. It's all about yourself. It's all his teaching about the time of fitna, time of trouble, etc. So we'll talk about what's going on. But do we ever discuss now what Rasulullah wanted us to do around such time? Do we discuss that? We'll talk about now, he shot this one here, he said this and he said that, why should he do this? But what am I supposed to be doing in the light of the teaching of Hazrat Rasulullah? Do we make it a topic of discussion? Do we think about it? Do we understand it? Do we meditate over it? Do we do that? When he was the greatest person of time, the most knowledgeable, أَخْشَاكُمْ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ, I am most learned, I fear Allah Ta'ala most. So when he's the most fearing and the most knowledgeable, then ask him, refer to him, what was his plan in this time? So his plan, why worry about yourself? Cry over yourself. وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَطِيَةِ, cry over yourself. So now, the greater concern is, what will bring about the weight onto the scales? One hadith is quite popular. Musa ibn Hamza should repeat this, you know. He says, daily, the shaitan spreads his throne over the sea, right? And he takes a report for the doing of the day. So how important it is to report on yourself. You can justify, you know, I said this and he said this. You can justify, you can appease your conscience. But I ask you, will it hold by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The easiest way was humble yourself, make maaf and be good to people. That was the easy way. And the hard way is you justify your stance, appease your conscience. That's the hard way. And the easy way is humble yourself, make maaf and carry on with your life. Isn't that an easy way? Now you appeasing yourself, justifying yourself, you give him a chance to also justify himself, ask you, who would be the winner then? Anybody besides Shaitan?
And Shaitan will talk to you in your language, him in his language. The learned according to their language, the illiterate according to their language. He'll talk to them, make them understand. So in all this, I ask you, who's going to be the winner? So the plan is that you take stock of yourself. You got a business, you don't take stock of yourself. Your business, what happens? Collapses, fails. No stocks. Not taking stock of yourself, no checks and balances, just happening. So it's going to collapse, it's going to fall down. Definitely it's going to fall down. So if you think that to take stocks of your business is important, then how much more important it is to take stock of your akhirat matters, qabr matters, jannat matters. What have I done for the day? Have I done something incredible or not? One woman phones from Johannesburg. So she says, her husband likes to go around. So he does, out of respect, she will accompany the husband. But see, no matter what time I come back from home, but before I don't recite my 5 sifaras, I don't go to sleep. But she's not a hafiz. On the one side, she has to respect the husband. On the other side, she has to respect and commit herself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, respect the husband and commit herself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, I don't ever neglect my 5 sifaras. Before I haven't completed, I don't go to sleep. So where there's a will, there's a way. You can do it. If a woman can do it, then why can't you do it? Are you also weaker than a woman? She can do it. Why can't you do it? So Shaitan puts out his throne. And then he calls the smaller Shaitans, all his agents, right? يَرَوْنَهُمْ وَقَبِيلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. You can't see them. But they are seeing you, they're watching you. Shaitan and his agents are watching you. And the Shaitans don't have to be in a jinnat form. They can come in a human being's form. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. What does that mean? They can come in the form of a man, in the form of a woman, of a jinnat. But the messages are going through. And how the messages are going through? Allah Pak knows. Through the technology, through television, through media. But those messages are going through you. So Shaitan is taking a report of what you did for the day. That person was going for namaz, I stopped him. Alright, it's a good thing you did, but not a train smash. What you did, I made him speak a lie. Alright, good what you have done, but it's alright, not a big deal. What you have done, that person, I robbed this person, yes, alright. Also very good, but not a serious thing. What have you done? See, the husband and the wife, they were having a squabble, and I got in between. When I got in between, I told the wife, you know, the husband steps in, but let him have it. Because he doesn't know what you're going through, you know. Your whole day, the fire, children, housekeep, maid, all these responsibilities, all ganged up upon yourself. All bundled up on yourself. Well, he's just having a life. 5-6 hours of work, and he's bringing money, so he thinks he's doing the whole world. You know what I'm going through. So as he steps into the house, one step inside the house, one step outside the house, and she says, yeah, you didn't do this right. You didn't do this right. Now you didn't bring the milk. Now what do you now? You want coffee now? Why are you going to get the coffee done now? Now she is giving it to you. The man, Shaitan, is playing on his mind as well. He says, you can't just be swallowing humble pie, you know. You're a man, you must stand for yourself. You're not a woman, yeah? You put on the pants, you must tell her what you need to say. So Shaitan is teaching his sabak, teaching him her sabak. So he's giving it. So now, you know me. I come from a big family also. I'm from Musgrave, you know. So you don't expect me to just keep quiet. What do you think of me? So she's giving it. He's giving it now. Oh, they're giving it. But who's teaching the sabaks? Shaitan. I must have the last word. I must have the final word. So Shaitan is teaching her and teaching him. Both of them. Caught up, really entangled. And they're really entangled. And each one is thinking, I must have the last say. Last say is mine. So nobody thinks I'm stupid. You know, I'm from a Spinger Beach here. From a farm town. Don't do anything here. You mustn't think like that. So he's just entangling them. But you see the sabak that he... This is Shaitan sabak.
Eventually the man said, now it's enough. 1, 2, 3 fella gone, khalas. Now, from that point onwards, what happens? Now, she's gone to her house, he's gone to his house. When they both separated, both have gone to their homes. Obviously now, the friends and families will get around here, and friends and families will get around here. So, she will be giving her story, and he'll be giving his story. In that story, there can be truth, and there can be a little bit of lies. And when this lies, then, La'anatullahi al-Kadibin. So Allah Ta'ala's curse is falling on them. See that? Won't there be some exaggeration, some lie? There's going to be something just to impress on the people now, you know, what zulm I went through, you know, years of zulm. You won't be able to manage one day what I went through. See? So she will have to impress the circle of friends that she's got. And he has to impress the friends that he's got. Right? Then in so doing, then there'll be some ghibat carrying on as well. Won't there be ghibat? Backbiting, yeah, he's like that. He's like that. He's a mouse, not a man. What he is? So there'll be some ghibat going on. Right? And when there's ghibat going on, right, then what happens? That ghibat is worse than zina. Ashaddu min az-zina. Someone made zina, he feels so miserable about himself, right? But ghibat, he doesn't think anything about it. And you say, it's not ghibat, no, we're just talking. What do you say? I mean, we're just talking, not ghibat. You don't mean ghibat here. Then what is ghibat then? Ghibat is going ashaddu min az-zina. See that? So that's the second wrong. Right? Eating the flesh of your dead brother. Right? It's such a terrible thing. That person is fasting and made ghibat. La siyama lahu, is roza, is cancelled, there's no reward. You went through the laysa lahu min sawmi illa al-ju. Only the pangs of hunger you went through, but no sawab, the reward, all of it is cancelled. See that? Why? You thought you'd do a great thing by talking about him, impressing the crowd about how you were oppressed. But in the process, you will be the ghibat, right? See that? It doesn't stop there. Then it's allegations. What was in your mind? You know, you think, you know, he did this, perhaps like that. So he made a false allegation against him. And when you make a false allegation, there's two problems that are with it, right? If you believe in Allah Ta'ala, believe in His Rasul, there's two problems. You are going across the Pul Sirat, and you are held up there while the fire is shooting up on you. Right? Bring the proofs. You made this allegation against your brother, substantiate. Now, when there is no substantiation, how will you substantiate? You will be stuck there now, the fire is shooting up, you can't move from there. Until everything is squashed and buried, you have to just remain there. I ask you, in a small fire, can you just put your finger, one finger for 1 minute? Well, how are you going to tolerate that? Then that's a third guna, right? Rasulullah is passing a Qabristan, and the inmates, يُعَذَّبَان وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٌ. They're under punishment, and not for a serious thing. فَأَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَا يَحْتَرِزُ عَنِ الْبُولِ. This person here, he wasn't careful about his urine, right? Nowadays, you have to tell the people, right? They're moving on from the eastern pan to the western pan, the higher pan, right? Now the mess is going down. When the mess is going down, isn't some water splashing back into your back? So you park now. So you're not taking care about that thing. You're not worried about it. Something is coming up. Now park, you're not worried about it. So either go back to the eastern system or take all the precautions that you need to ensure that the water is not splashing back onto you. Make sure about it. So he is being punished because of this. And this person, Kana Yamshi bin Namima, his problem was, he used to carry tails. What is carrying tails? Carrying tails is, Naqlul Kalam ala Wajhil Ifsad, you know. You're carrying stories with malicious intent. One is, he wants to bring about some sanity, right? And one is with malicious intent. I just want to put the person down, show that I am right. Somehow, you must also cooperate with me in smashing this person down. Isn't that a business today? The social media, you join up with me to smash up that person coming to my party against this party. Doesn't it happen? That's the whole business of the social media. You join up with me, and if you don't join up, then we'll take you out of our circle, we'll take you out. So you listen to our story, and you cooperate with us against this person. Because that's namima. See how you drown yourself further and further and further into problem. Kana yamshi bin namima. That's the fourth wrong. The fifth wrong is, you've got false suspicions and doubts about your brother. Ijtanibu kathiran min al-zann. Can you see that? You've got some opinion. Yeah, he's proud. He's too arrogant about himself. He's got an attitude. What do you think about himself? He's the only alim in the world. There's no other ulama. So, you have got a false suspicion about your brother. See that? And there's no proof for it. And Allah is saying, Ijtanibu kathiran min al-zann. A lot of suspicions. Just you avoid yourself. Ba'da zanni ismun. So wrong. And worse than all that is we don't consider the wrong as wrong. See, all the wrong is done, but you don't consider the wrong as wrong. See that obliques is already counted five. Then the sixth wrong is al-istitala fi irdil mu'min. Right? You're disgracing, embarrassing a Muslim, whether in his presence or his absence. And you're disgracing, you're belittling a Muslim. And you're not thinking much of him. No, my party must prevail. He must go down. When he goes down and he collapses, then you're rejoicing. You're rejoicing at his failure, right? Istitalatu fi ibdil mu'min. I asked you, aren't we victims of all this? And isn't it the right time now to correct ourselves before we're entering into Rajab, before Shaban, and all the deeds are going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't we supposed to be sitting down, set our records right, be in a good position when our deeds are ascending? Nabi Sallam is fasting so that the deeds are ascending in the right state. But you see, all the Quran, all these verses I'm showing you from the Quran, istitala fi irdil mu'min, belittling that person. And belittling that person is so bad, you know, we say, dirham bin riba, one dirham of riba is 36. Zinas, you know, 36 zina. If a person here is a masjid, and we all know he made 36 zina, I will say, hey, just give it, we want to be with you. Don't you have that, like an indifferent feeling towards him? And the one that disgraces a Muslim is even worse than that. Al istitala fi irdin. You see that? Then, that I showed you, I counted five, right? Then the sixth wrong is this. That they have separated, right? When they're separated, he's got feelings and emotions, and she's got feelings and emotions, right? When they were around together, so the feelings and emotions were fulfilled in the right way. But now they're separated, now this, it doesn't mean they're separated, so the feelings have all died. Have they died? Have they died? Can you see now they're going to fulfill their feelings in wrong ways, right? Then, after everything is done, said and done, then sin is being committed, group work, you know. Because it's your whole family, whole circle that you're going to be talking with. But I tell you that you're doing a sin individually or in groups. In groups you're doing a work, whether it's social media, whether groups are around you. So it's a group work of sin. So is it worth the while? All this is worth the while. That's the sixth wrong, right? The seventh wrong now will be, now you see him, you take a U-turn. So I'm coming from that side, I need to go, took a phone, kali kali, and you moved on, U-turn. Now, everybody knows the game now, you know. How to take a U-turn, just pull out the phone, all that. So the blame now is old game. But now in the process, what happens? The process, what happens, is 2 days in the week that he's saying, Allah Pak is announcing forgiveness for all. But these two people are not talking, they're in bad terms. Allah Pak says, no, just keep them in suspense until they don't join up. So everybody, Allah Pak is announcing maaf for all the ummah. But you and you, we are not maafing you at all. Until you don't join up, we are holding you in abeyance. I see, is that a good thing? See that, seventh sin I showed you, right? Then the hadith says, the eighth guna, right? Tirmidhi Sharif for the hadith. See, we think that the tongue, and nowadays we see the tongue and the thumb. Tongue and the thumb, isn't it? I still can't imagine how they could do that. So quickly they're driving, somebody driving it for the blessed Lord. How they do it, like a miracle of the day. They can be talking with you and they study the message. So what is done? Then you look at the kudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah wants to do a thing, He makes us do. No, what was unimaginable, it become a reality, isn't it? So the seventh thing, look at it. Tirmidhi says this hadith. And a man speaks something, right? And as a result, he's thrown to the lowest ebb of Jahannam. One word. And he was escalating, he was gone so well, he was going. But he spoke something that amounted to severance, some problem, whatever. And he was thrown into the lowest ebb of Jahannam. Can you see that? And by the same token, there's another person, he spoke something that brought about good relationship, understanding to Allah Ta'ala, understanding to the Akhirat. And Allah Ta'ala escalated into the highest of the high. But you see, Mr. Tang. Abu Bakr Siddiq is leaving the house, pulling his tongue. You go straight, we'll all go straight. And you go wrong, we'll all go wrong. We'll catch it. You never see there was abuse, right? Verbal abuse. You never see that the tongue is catching it. The whole body will catch it. The tongue is still safe. See the tongue, how smart that thing is. It'll cause your whole body to be in pain, and that thing is going still smooth and smart. No problems. You must catch it. I'll be still remaining safe. But what? So the hadith is telling you this much. When it's the time of fitna, cry over yourself. Amlik alayka lisanak. You be in control of your tongue, right? Don't let your tongue control you. That means your mind or your nerves. Don't let that control you. You be in control. Let Allah Ta'ala be in control. Must I say this or mustn't I say it? Must I make this move or not make the move? You be in total control. And I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala today. And I don't know that this is the right thing for me to see or not. So the conscience of Allah Ta'ala is so overwhelming that you don't want to just open your mouth. You don't want to just use your tongue. The consciousness, you're standing before Allah Ta'ala, even khafa maqama rabbi, you're standing before Allah Ta'ala and you're so conscious about it. See, that's why I say that today, in my understanding, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But to talk about the akhirat, muzakara, jannat, jahannam, qiyamat, that is about the most rewarding thing. If you know, right, that there's just a rumor that Saad is after you. You're selling a limp chocolate, you know, from your booth, and you're making a terrific bargain. Don't worry, the Saad is after you. What happened? One just false rumor. I didn't like you doing a business because you're doing too much, you know. So I just give you some jullab. I just said the Saad is after you. What happened? You fly straight to Mars. Won't that happen? Why he lasted the Verlam program from Sars to Mars. See? See that? What a jullab you get. Just someone just forced me, just tried to intrigue you, you know, with the Sars story. What happens to you? Finished. So if the Qiyamah, if Waznu Yoma is in, if it's a truth, right, it should create some worry, some concern, some uneasiness. Mera kya hoga? Mera kya hoga? I'm talking, I'm joking, all that. Lekin phir mera kya? What's going to happen to me? Mustafa gave an incident of a youngster. See, in a time, the greater consciousness was akhirat. Like you see, the people before us, right? Before us, their great concern was akhirat. Because they had no school education. The whole thing was about akhirat, jannah, jahannam. That was the figure, that was the concern. One janaza is going, supported by three men and one woman. Right? So, the youngster is around there, pious youngster. He didn't feel comfortable that a woman should be supporting that. So he asked the woman, alright, let's move away. Whose janazah? My son's janazah. And why is there nobody supporting this thing? And not because people are taunting him because of some deficiency, right? They should taunt him, alright. So anyway, they dafan him everything. After the dafan, I made dua. How it's normal, you make dua for the person, Allah forgive him. Give him the stages in the akhirat. Now he's seeing that the same person that they used to taunt and run down, now he is escalating in Jannat, very high level. But are you the same person? Yeah, I'm the same person. But this is what the people used to talk about you, they used to run you down. You have some deformity or some deficiency. It's true, I had that deformity, something, some weakness in me. And people used to taunt me. But for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I just remain quiet. Just only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. I didn't retort, I didn't respond. And this is the reward for my patience. يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. See, everybody will come to the scale. You know, the scales, right? Everybody comes to the scale. And you did so much namaz, take your reward. So much roza, take your reward. So much fasting, this reward. Hajj and umrah, this is your reward. But then when it comes to the sabir, the whole idea of the world is habsunnas. The whole, you look at the whole world, the idea to restrain. Right? So the sabir, he held himself, he held his tongue, he held his eyes, he held his ears, right? He held himself, habsun nafs. There's temptations, everything is roaring. Everything wants to just burst out. But at that time that he wants to burst out, you're holding yourself. At home the wife is saying something, family is saying something, the friends are saying something. But for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you're just holding yourself, showing a good face. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, against your tabiat. But he said, no, I must definitely score for my akhirah. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayh, 40 finished now, he's living in Balkh, Afghanistan, that's a trade port. Literally thousands of kilos of gold he's going to command. Command of thousands of kilos, is what it is. 500 attendants at any time. Just the room that he's got, he's done so well, I would say it's nothing less than 100 million. Just the place that he's got. And then he said, hey, I lived 40 years of my life now. I made a lot of majah, a lot of excitement. What investment for the future? He left all these things here. Now I need to work for the future. I've done all this. But I've done all this for this temporary life. But the permanent life, what have I done? I mustn't be a total loser. I mustn't be a write-off. I've done so much. Allah gave me so much. I want 2 million, I can run my life now. That's enough. If I budget myself, it's enough. What have I done for that life? So all that he left. Now, moving, however, under some guidance, and he's at the port, some youngsters want to go for a cruise, you know, holiday period, and the minds all go off, you know, offbeat, off course. So they say, hey, we need something for entertaining ourselves. So they saw him in clothes, in coarse cloth, disheveled hair. He thought he's a tramp. They don't know who he was, right? And they boarded him, so he'll have some entertainment, push him, tease him, taunt him. He has no support, so we can have a good time, have some entertainment, and our cruise will go very well. So they took him in. And now, as they're moving out, mid-sea, they need some entertainment, some fun. They're pushing him, teasing him, taunting him, he's falling down this side, that side. Until he falls unconscious. Allah Pak tells him, if you want, if you say, we'll drown the last one of these scoundrels. Allah Pak, you got the kudrat of drowning them all, but you got kudrat of making all of them the awliya of your time. See that sabr. That sabr, what he does. And wait, won't Rasul ever some feel happy? Hey, this man here, you could have done this, but he saved my ummati from destruction to elevation. Sabr, love was to finish.